paid
260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
And we are back. The Kickback Pod back yet again after, I would say, quite a bit of a hiatus. So we're going to start off this pod, first of all, by saying a big sorry to all the listeners for being away off the air for quite a bit. Let's just call it a bit of a summer break that me and Fobs were on. We both had quite a lot of things actually going on in each of our personal lives, but we'll get to that a bit later. But for those of you who are back with us, shout out to all of you for sticking with us. We're definitely going to try to be a lot more consistent with the pods. And something that we're doing that's kind of new with this pod, based on a lot of you guys' requests, especially those of you who follow me on YouTube, you guys were requesting that we start uploading some of these podcasts to YouTube. So we are going to try doing that with this podcast. So that will be just another place you guys can check us out. So, but before we get into our main topic of the day, which, by the way, will be all about sneaker collabs. So there was a recent list uploaded by Complex where they ranked their top 25 sneaker collaborators power rankings in the world right now. We have some thoughts about that for sure. The list was pretty interesting. And then we are going to not only give you our thoughts, but we're also going to give you the top five sneaker collaborators according to me and Fobs, according to the Kickback Pod. So before we get into all that, I haven't talked or seen my man Fobs in quite a while. So how you doing, my man?
Dude, I'm good, man. I mean, the last time we saw each other, you were tying the knot, which was a beautiful moment. So I'm doing really well. I thought the wedding was beautiful, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later when it's your turn to talk about what you've been doing. But nah, man, I mean, the time in the south of Spain was amazing. I came back with a nice glow, which after 5 days of rain in Berlin is now pretty much gone. but I'm just, you know, happy to be back. And as you said, you know, I think this is probably our second summer hiatus of 2024. It's a busy life at the moment, but we are looking at ways we can, you know, reformat this pod and get you more regular content, but don't want to give away too much too soon. So you'll probably be hearing more on that in the coming episodes or coming weeks. Just know that we're hard at work at coming up with the best content format we can give you. And part of that is testing out video for the first time, man. And it's a bit weird seeing myself on camera whilst we're recording. You know, I do video podcasts with my man Amadeus with Oshun in German. Except there I'm sitting in front of an actual camera and I can't see myself, so it makes it a little bit more natural. Right now I'm just like staring at myself the entire time. Nah, man, but super excited to be back. I think this episode is going to be a dope one. It's a great topic, lots of discussion, but we'll get to that later, man. How are you, man? Freshly married, glowing, figuratively, literally. What's up, man?
Yeah, it's been definitely maybe the peak of my life so far. The last few weeks, had my wedding. So that was part of the reason why we couldn't do a pod, guys, because I was very busy planning for this wedding. Had some friends and family coming over from North America, some from South America. I also had some people flying over from Berlin, like my man Fobs, who was super happy to see you guys there, you and the fam. And yeah, the wedding was just incredible. A lot of people, you know, told me that it's one of the most stressful weeks of your life, and on the day of, you're going to be so stressed that you won't even enjoy your own wedding. There were a lot of people warning me about it, but none of that happened. To be honest, it was like the most fun weekend of my whole life. Just seeing all my closest friends and family all in one place, it felt a bit surreal even to see like my older life from Canada and my new life in Berlin kind of all in one place, and all groups of people like meeting each other. Everyone was cool with each other, which was something that for some reason I kind of worried about, like whether these two groups of people would be able to kind of mingle. But it turned out to be great. Like everyone had a great time. And I was just so happy. I was glowing all weekend. So happy to finally marry my longtime girlfriend, now my wife, Diana. Shout out to you. It was a beautiful, beautiful wedding. And I couldn't be happy. I'm still kind of in like this after wedding glow period right now, where I'm just like, feel like I'm on a cloud nine. Like, did that even happen? You know, I'm looking at some wedding pictures that just got sent to me by the photographer. And I'm like, wow, that was a pretty incredible weekend. So, also really, really, really happy that we did the wedding in where we did it, which was in the south of Spain, which is like one of my favorite areas in the world. Just looked beautiful, like the whole venue and the setup and the background, the backdrop with all the palm trees and just the southern Spain vibes. Really felt like that's where my wedding was meant to be. It was incredible. And I stayed in Spain for a little bit afterwards, checked out Marbella. Wow. I don't know if any listeners are listening from Marbella or have been to Marbella. I've never felt more poor in my life. Like, everyone there's got a yacht, everyone's got like a Ferrari, the latest Lambo. I've seen like the Porsche truck, the Lambo truck, all parked next to their yachts. I mean, it was insane. Marbella. Checked out Porto, Portugal as well. Absolutely beautiful place, in case you guys have never been. And back in Berlin now. I'm kind of excited to just get back to work, because I've just been kind of doing this wedding and enjoying the summer. So I'm back on my grind, back into work mode. While this was all happening, you know, the sneakers kept getting delivered to my house. So I didn't miss out on any releases. There were quite a few pickups as well. But first, we'll get into what we have been wearing lately. So, Fobs, why don't you start us off?
Man, I mean, since we're doing video, I could have brought the shoe and showed it to the camera, but I totally forgot, totally blanked on that. But I've been wearing the Li Ning Eric Ellington skate shoe, which is super comfortable. The best way to describe it, I mean, if you want, you can go Google it yourself. Eric
Ellington. I'm going to, like, when I edit this video, I'm going to put images of the shoe. So.
Ah, nice.
No worries.
Well, then you'll see it, but it's basically, it's almost like a more modern Club C. You know, it's got translucent upper, it's all white, it's got Li Ning's version of a Boost midsole, and it's low profile, it's cool, it's almost like a mix between, yeah, like a Club C, a Vans type sneaker, and super comfortable, kind of works with everything, has a bit of a techie vibe, so that's what I've been rocking. It's become my go-to, and I've actually, over the last couple of weeks, really beat them to, not to death, but like, they definitely look worn, man. What about you?
Okay, I definitely gotta check those out for myself. In fact, I don't own any Li Nings, and if this one is your go-to shoe, then I think that speaks a lot. So I need to definitely check these out. It's a skate shoe nonetheless. Lately, so a sneaker that I would say like the most recent shoe that I've added to my personal collection has been the Clot Adidas Gazelles, and I actually did bring those with me. Oh, let me just grab them real quick. Okay, yeah, got them. The Clot Adidas Gazelles, these beautiful shoes right here. So these are like nothing else I've really seen before. This shoe is a sneaker espadrille. That's what a lot of people were telling me. And to be honest, I didn't even know much about espadrilles. I've never worn an espadrille. And living in Germany and living in Canada, it was never really a type of footwear that I saw a lot of, so I didn't know much about it, to be honest. Like, I barely knew what an espadrille was. That all changed actually when I went to Spain. So when I went to Spain, I tried going footwear shopping. I went to some of the biggest like department stores in Spain, like El Corte Inglés, for example. I go to the footwear section in El Corte Inglés, and it's like 50% espadrilles there. It's like that's all people like to wear there. I walk into Puerto Banús in Marbella. people are all rocking the espadrilles right by the sea, right by the beach. And that's when I started to understand the whole vibe of espadrilles. And it really actually, I happened to be wearing these throughout my Spanish trip. And it really fit the vibe of being in a sunny place, a sunny European holiday. Like, this shoe right here pretty much screams European summer vacation. It is a beautiful shoe. I really, really like the concept. I really like what Edison Chen did with this shoe. And when initial pictures came out of the shoe, I thought, wow, that's a nice colorway. And the midsole looks super interesting. But you really need to order the shoe and see it in hand to really appreciate all the little details, like the little beads on the three stripes. And from what I read, these were all hand sewn into the shoe. So there's tons of little beads here giving you the three stripes, and also the laces with these rope style laces. And the colorway is super clean. It's so far actually become one of my absolute favorite pickups of the year. And from what I last saw, you can actually get these for retail on StockX. So definitely one of my favorite pickups, and something I've been wearing a lot of is the Clot Gazelles. Also picked up I'm going to call it a grail. That is the Foamposite CDGs, which recently released in that brand new colorway, which was this like mix of black and gray. And you guys have heard me talk about it before. It's that shoe, the black and white pairs have been like a grail of mine, but I've never really got them because the prices were just so expensive. And Nike did something we've never ever seen them do before. I was trying to think of if they've ever done this before, which was release in a new colorway of a shoe, but drop the price by almost 50%. When has Nike ever done that?
Yeah, that was wild. Like, because it's still a CDG Foamposite, it's still a CDG collaboration. Guess maybe the stock was, I don't know, was the stock a lot higher and they were just gambling on like,
no, it wasn't. In fact, the stock was actually a lot lower because it only released at one place. It only released at Dover Street Market. It was a Dover Street Market exclusive. No sneakers release, anything like that. And surprisingly, the price was almost 50% lower. I was able to get it for retail. Very happy about that. And it's one of the sickest shoes to release this year. I actually like this colorway even more than the first two. The mix looks amazing on feet. So I've been definitely rocking that pair quite a lot. And two other pairs, these are not really sneak. Actually, no, one of them is a sneaker. But the shoes I wore for my wedding, which were a pair that I had my eyes on for a long time, and I knew for a very long time that these were the shoes I wanted to wear on my wedding. That was a pair of Derbys from Jacques Mousse, and they're very bulbous. Like they don't look like normal Derbys, which are a lot skinnier and much more narrow and pointy. This one is like a lot more bulbous looking, and I just really liked that look. And I really wanted that pair to go with the black tux that I wore on my wedding. So this was a pair that I'm like, I had my eyes on. I managed to actually even get them on sale. A pretty very actually comfortable pair of dress shoes if you guys were in the market for something a bit more comfortable. Those were sick. Been wearing those. And the last pair has been my Margiela Gats, which I also took with me to Spain and Portugal. And it's a great shoe to have if you know you're going to be going out to some nice places at night and you didn't really want to wear like dress shoes. I feel like the Margiela Gats are one of the few sneakers that you can wear to like a fancy establishment, you know, and like you can walk in there, no questions asked. Everyone's going to know, okay, yeah, this guy, he gets the nice table. you walk in with the Gats and it's just like a different vibe. So I love those. I'm going to be dropping a video soon, actually, giving you guys the best alternatives to the Margiela Gats, which are a lot cheaper, and absolutely nobody will be able to tell the difference that they're not Margielas. So look out for that video soon. So that's been what's heavy in the rotation lately. And moving into some latest pickups, Fobs, I'm going to let you lead this one off as well.
Man, I don't have that many, actually. I've only got two for myself and then a couple for a friend of mine. Picked up the Armand Meunier 3s, the black and
yes.
What is that? Like grayish purple pair, which super nice. I mean, the first ones are beautiful, but these ones are pretty close. I would say the first ones are definitely nicer, but the second ones are up there. And the crazy thing is I've seen them either like restock or, you know, just sit at a lot of retailers, at least in Germany. I keep getting like notifications that certain retailers, a few, Beeston, etc., still have them or have them again. Super, super nice pair. Looking forward to undead stocking those. I haven't worn them yet. Then I got a pair of New Balance 990 V6s in that OG gray colorway. Haven't had a 990 V6 yet, so these are super dope. Shout out also to Moritz from Strick Studio and New Balance for sending me those. So that was actually a gifted pair. Very excited to pull those on. Kind of, you know, just classics. And we've spoken about the 990 quite a lot on this pod.
Those are my daily beaters, man. Those have been my beaters for like the last like year and a half.
Yo, they're good shoes, man. I mean, there's a reason why there's been six iterations and all of them have kind of really resonated with people and fans of the series. So those were the two pickups for myself. And then I got two pairs of the Zalando Adidas SL72 SMUs. So basically it's not a collaboration, but it's like a special colorway that's exclusive to Zalando. And actually a really good friend of mine, Rihanna Matthews, she designed them with a colleague of mine, Freddie, at Zalando. And they designed them together and released those. And I picked up two pairs for her. You know, using obviously my employee discount and helping her secure the bag basically on those. Super nice shoes. The story there is that the colorways, there's two, there's a black one and there's a white one. Those are based on the very first Adidas Sambas from like the, what was it, like the 40s or whenever they released first. So they've taken that and put it on the SL72, which is kind of the sneaker of the moment for Adidas this year. And those are my pickups. So two for myself and two for a very good friend of mine. What about you, dude?
I haven't, I'm trying to look for them on Zalando right now because I definitely want to put a picture up of these shoes because I remember seeing them on my Instagram and I thought, yeah, those colorways look very, very clean. But I'll definitely try to find some pics of those. Great pickups. One of yours, which was the Armand Meunier 3s, I also picked them up. Shout out to German retailer Afew. Yes. So those were one of the stores you mentioned that were restocking these pairs. Pretty unbelievable to think about it, right? 2021, the white pair released. Everyone called it sneaker of the year. Fast forward 3 years later, the black pair releases, and they're going for basically retail on StockX. And they're also sitting. I walked into Sneakers and Stuff today in Berlin. I saw the shoe there also sitting in the shop. So pretty crazy what like 3 years later, what big of a difference the sneaker world is in right now. But yeah, I regardless of whether or not these sold out is irrelevant because I was very happy to get these for retail, even though I'm not much of a threes guy, but I actually really appreciate this collab. I think James Whitner, who we will be talking about a bit later, I do think he's simply one of the best collaborators out there for Jordan Brand. And just a great job with this, the tumble leather, really nice. I love the, with all the Armand Meunier collabs, love the quilted details as well on the sock liner. So happy to get these for retail. That's been my first pickup. The other pickup is something, I actually did something that I don't normally do, which is I bought a shoe off of StockX because normally I try to get everything for retail. I try not to pay resale, but I didn't really have much of a choice here because this pair was a North American exclusive. And hold on, let me just get it real quick.
The prices are also really good for that pair on StockX, I saw.
Yeah, they are very good. So that is this pair right here. It actually just arrived today, so I literally unboxed this shoe about half an hour before filming this podcast. So yeah, this is the Air Max 95 Toronto. So of course you guys know I am from Toronto. That's where I grew up. And it's really dope to see Toronto get a Nike collab. I mean, I see where all the details are. It's very hard to see this, but there is like a image of, you can see like when the light reflects on it, there's like an image of the CN Tower on the heel of the shoe, and also the tokens that you use to get on the subway in Toronto. You can see that on the sock liner as well. On the insole, you can see an image of a combination of like a Nike logo and the TTC tokens on the insole, which I thought was pretty cool. And also the colorway is very much inspired by the colors you see on the CN Tower at nighttime. So I mean, it's just so cool to see Toronto get an Air Max 95. Unfortunately, the pair I bought from StockX, it didn't come with the Toronto exclusive box, which is what I really wanted. That box was amazing. So unfortunately, the pair I got was from the North American release, not from the Toronto release. But I'm still happy that I paid not that much for these. I paid like 250 euros for these, which is not that much above retail. But yeah, this has been a pair that I had obviously knew I absolutely needed to get. So that's my second pickup. Also picked up, some clothing items. I picked up the Supreme and Tyler, the Creator collab on that. I guess a box logo shirt I got the brown colorway. Actually, I'm wearing it right now. the brown Supreme and Tyler shirt. And a shirt that I also picked up, which I'm even more excited about, was the Levi's and Jound collab. They did like a shirt with this image of like a horse with like laser eyes, which I thought was just so cool. And it looked super hard. So I picked up the Jound one as well. And lastly, I also picked up for personal use the Jordan 4 Nigel Sylvester, the recently released gray colorway. I actually also picked up the green one, but I ended up selling it after I did a review for the pair because I looked at the prices and I'm like, all right, you guys want to pay 500 plus for this sneaker? Go ahead, here you go. I ended up selling that because I knew there was going to be other colorways dropping. So and I was right. This gray pair that dropped, I got it for retail. So and in my opinion, I actually like this gray pair even more because the swoosh on it is done in like a red color, which I think really pops on the shoe. And it's my favorite of the two colorways. So that was that's my other pickup. I know you've been also looking for a pair of those Jordan 4 Nigels, right?
Yeah, man. Missed out on both of them, both colorways when they dropped. I know that there's a couple of like GR versions of that come pretty close, right? There's like a dark gray one, and then there's also a green one. It's a bit of a different green. So I'm debating whether to pick those up or pick the Nigels up. I really just like that it says Bike Air on the back, which is pretty dope. So might have to do what you did and dip into StockX. I think the prices for both are okay.
Not the green one. The green one, the prices are pretty substantial.
Yeah, true. The green one, you're paying at least 100 over retail, but like the gray one should be gettable at even below retail, I think. I looked at my size earlier today, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I dip into that market or if I save my coin for something else, for some retail drops. But yeah, man, I mean, as always, you have a very nice selection of pickups, a nice variation as well, especially with some of the Supreme and Jound Levi's pieces in there. We move on to the main event of the evening?
Yeah. So our big topic, the kind of the inspiration for this episode, came from a recent list which was posted by Complex. Maybe we will leave a link to the article in the show notes. But it's essentially a power ranking of, according to Complex, who they believe are currently the top 25 best, or in their words, the top 25 most powerful collaborators in sneakers. I don't know what powerful means here exactly, but this is their list. What we're going to go do real quick is we're just going to give you the list without actually commenting on each one. We're just going to read the list right now. And then after that, we'll both let you know our thoughts on it very quickly and then give you guys each of our top five collaborators currently in the sneaker game. So I'm going to read through the list. So at number 25, Trophy Room. At 24, Clot. 23, Undefeated. 22, we got J Tips. At 21, Fear of God. At 20, Pata. 19, we got Concepts. At number 18, we have Nina Chanel Abney. At number 17, we got UK streetwear brand Cortez. Number 16, we got Stussy. At 15, Union. 14, we have Supreme. At number 13, there's J Balvin. At 12, we got Jound. Then comes Action Bronson. Moving to the top 10, we have Comme des Garçons at number 10. Wales Bonner at 9. Salehe at 8. Cactus Plant Flea Market at number 7. And Bad Bunny at number 6. And going into the top 5 here, we got Teddy Santis at number 5. James Whitner at number 4. Joe Fresh Goods at 3. Ronnie Feig at number 2. And at number 1, yeah, you probably already guessed it, we got Travis Scott at number 1 on the Complex Sneaker Collaborator Power Rankings. So pretty big list. So shout out to them for actually doing 25 and not like a top 5 like us. But yeah, definitely we got some thoughts here, but Fobs, I'll let you give us your thoughts first.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to finish with a top 5, but our top 5 is informed in part by this top 25, and I think Complex actually did quite a good job, because if you look at these 25 names, it's pretty accurate in terms of who is on there, right? Like, I'm not talking about the order, but if you're looking at just the names that are on this list, if you're looking at the 25 names in no particular order, and again, also taking into account that this is very subjective, Complex has said that it is a subjective list, and you know, they know that not everyone will agree, and people will argue, and people will tell them that they're wrong or that they're right or that they have a much better list, which is basically what we're doing here. But I think these lists are fun. I mean, it's part of sneaker culture. It's part of, you know, sharing opinions, starting discourse, and just kind of discussing and maybe coming up with new perspectives or learning about new names and people through these kinds of conversations. But I think Complex, you've done a really good job here. 25 names, pretty solid. I'd say you could probably argue, you know, here and there about some being maybe too high, a little bit too low. I would say the only big snub that I see here is Kiko Kostadinov being left off. I think the work that he does with ASICS in-house, and as well as, you know, with all of his collaborations in the past. I mean, I know he hasn't had a proper collaboration in a while. He's had a hand in a lot of their in-house models and some of the, you know, the Kiko line basically at ASICS, which isn't really branded under his name, just like Teddy Santis does the Made in USA. So I feel like if Teddy Santis is on there, and I know he has Aim Leon Dor, but if he's on there, then Kiko definitely deserves to be on there, especially in the top 25. So I would say that's probably the one issue that I have with this list. But again, it's super subjective. I feel like it's impossible to say that it's wrong in any way. I think that a lot of thought went into this. I mean, I know having written pieces like this, that a lot of thought and a lot of discussion goes into this, that a lot of people at the Complex offices were throwing names around, discussing them. And then obviously, you know, writing a blurb for 25 names with an introduction and a conclusion, a lot of work goes into that too. So I don't want to knock any of that. I don't want to say that anything is wrong. I guess if we went into like things that I disagreed with a little bit, I would say that in my opinion, Travis is probably not number one anymore. Maybe not even number top three. He'd probably be top 10 to top 5 in my opinion. Obviously the stuff that he does still sells out, still gets people excited, but it's also not, there's nothing new apart from his own shoe, which kind of flopped in a way, right? So like if you're looking at the Jordans he does, sure, but anything else, has it been that exciting? Not really. A lot of shoes that he has done that weren't Jordans didn't sell out in the last couple of years. So you could argue here that, you know, he's maybe not on the top of this list, especially if you ask some other people. I would say Stussy and Supreme are a little bit too high as well. I haven't been impressed by Supreme sneaker collaborations in quite some time. I would say Stussy similar there. You know, they've had a few big ones over the last 5 years, but I'd say in the last couple years, I don't really know. I can't really remember anything that was so crazy. Maybe the Air Force Ones, but were those were before 2 years ago, weren't they? So yeah, I'd say those are maybe a little bit too high. Action Bronson could be a little bit lower on the list, lower in the sense that, you know, he is better than his placing suggests. I think that he's super underrated. A lot of his projects are really, really cool. There's a lot of thought behind all of the colorways. And Action Bronson, I mean, he's just such a funny guy, such a great character, such a likable guy, I would say as well. So I'd say that he's definitely underrated here. Then when it comes to like the women on the on this list, I think that maybe there could have been more consideration put into the female sneaker collaborators. Nina Chanel Abbey, I don't know. I mean, what has she had? Like one big sneaker, the Jordan 4?
To my knowledge, she's got like one collab, which was those green Jordans and the green Jordan 3s, right?
Yeah, Jordan 3s, exactly. Sorry, not the 4s, the 3s. And so, like, yeah, they were okay, but were they that great? I don't know.
But like, what about Yoon Ambush, right? Yeah, exactly. Like, Yoon Ambush, even Sakai, for example.
Martine Rose, Aleli May, Sakai. There's a lot of names on there, a lot of female names as well that you could have put in over Nina, in my opinion. But again, I don't want to knock what she's done. That 3 was really, really nice. And they are going off of like, you know, recency bias as well. So something that has been done in the last 6 to 12 months maybe ranks higher than something that was done 2 years ago, for example.
But I think just the fact that she's got one, just one, I feel like should automatically disqualify you from this list, at least for me, because in order to be considered a good collaborator, I think there needs to be a bit more history built up. You can't just have one.
Yeah, but, true. Power rankings also, although to be fair, sometimes there's power rankings where, like, let's say we're looking at like NBA power rankings and somebody comes out and like has like a 50-point game out of nowhere, they shoot up in the power rankings because the power rankings are very, very current. So I can see the argument for Nina from that perspective. But again,
Those threes weren't a 50-point game though.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. That's a good point. And then also like looking at like names outside of like women, right? Like what about Skepta? Like what he's doing with Puma is really exciting. And I think that, you know, once the sneakers, when the Puma stuff comes out, maybe he'll feature in a later edition of this list. But again, like I said, all in all, pretty solid list. I can't complain too much. My top five definitely looks a lot different to theirs. But I'm interested to hear what you think. Like, I mean, you've replied to some of the things I said, but what were your first thoughts when you read this list?
Well, I do have very similar reactions to you. So first thought was regarding Travis. Seeing him at number one, I thought definitely shouldn't be there at number one, mainly because when it comes to, at least in my mind, if I'm putting this list together, I'm putting it based on the strength of the collabs, meaning like how much thought went into these shoes, how different are these shoes compared to the regular product, how much did sneakerheads really like respond to these shoes, was there like some kind of story behind the shoe, like, you know what I mean, like the strength of the collab. I'm not looking at it from like who's the most popular person on this list. I know I just saw this video of a Travis Scott concert in Brazil, and there was 115,000 people at the concert, all jumping up and raging. I mean, it's very clear he's a super popular guy. And I think that it is true that he's one of the few people that even right now in a depressed sneaker economy, his sneakers still do sell out. They still go for a pretty significant resale price. But to me, that doesn't tell me that he's like a powerful sneaker collaborator. I just think he's a very popular person. That's why his shoes are selling out. It's not necessarily a reflection on how good the shoes are, because let's be honest, I mean, if you look at his recent sneakers, it's just been same colorways of the exact same shoe, even though they told us a while back that we wouldn't be seeing any more new colorways of the lows and the highs, but that was a lie. We still keep getting more lows. There's more lows scheduled to release in the fall and winter of this year. I mean, like, it's just getting, that collab to me has become very played out. So I don't think he should be in the even the top five, in my opinion, on this list. So, but of course, if the list was based off of who sells the most and whose collabs go for the most amount of money, then I get why he would be number one.
Yeah,
but true. So that was the first thing that jumped out at me. The second thing that definitely immediately jumped out at me was something you already pointed out, which is, where is Kiko Kostadinov on this list? Because he is like one of the goats, I think, when it comes to collabs, because there isn't a more like cohesive partnership, I think, in sneakers than ASICS and Kiko. They even have like their own line developed. So him not being on the list is crazy. And the fact that him being not on the list also kind of showed me something else that was kind of biased about this list, which is it seems to be very North American biased.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these like European collaborators are missing, such as Kiko, such as Martine Rose, such as even Skepta, who I think, from at least when it comes to artists, he should be on here because his collabs do tell a good story and his collabs are actually sick. Like, they're some of my favorite Nike collabs recently. So there seems to be a very much like a North American bias here, which kind of makes sense. Complex is a North American publication. But the last thing which I wanted to point out was I did think Joe Fresh Goods was very, very high on this list.
True.
Because one thing I do like about Joe Fresh collabs is that he was ranked number 3 on this list, and he is one of the best, I think, when it comes to storytelling with his collabs. I think one of the best out there right now. But I do think that there's only so much you can do with storytelling. At the end of the day, you got to put out a good product as well. And I just feel like a lot of his collabs lately have really missed. I feel like he has a lot more misses than hits. So that's the reason why a lot of the Joe Fresh collabs don't even sell out. They don't go for much resale value. And I think that has to do with because people aren't really, they're liking the story, but the product, the finished product is not really hitting as hard. So there's got to be a good balance between the two, the storytelling and a nice product. So that's why I feel like he's a bit high on the list for me. Those are really my main, disagreements with the list. But overall, I think, it is pretty solid in terms of like including the right names. I think they did a good job here of trying to include most of the best ones. Let's get into like our individual top fives. How should we do it? Like, should we do like because when I came up with my top five list, I didn't really rank them. I kind of just thought of like, what are my best five?
I didn't rank them either, but we could just go through them, I guess, like name by name, right? It doesn't need to be a ranking. We just need to say like, why are these one of the five best collaborators? And I can kick us off with my first pick, which I kind of cheated here and I put two names down, or four names technically. But my first pick is Teddy Santis and Ronnie Feig. And I put them both under the same point because I find them very, very similar. You know, both have their own brands, Kith, Amy Ondour. Both have worked extensively with New Balance. Ronnie Feig, obviously, a lot more with ASICS and Nike and other brands as well, Adidas. But I find, you know, they're very, very good friends, and they've both had similar trajectories in the fashion industry. They're both very much focused on the holistic collections, not just sneakers, but everything else. Kith has just released an amazing campaign and a collection with Giorgio Armani, showing, you know, that Kith is more than just sneakers and has evolved from being like a hypebeast brand to being like a legit force in the industry. And I think both of them are great for different reasons. Teddy just, you know, has his eye on what are the colors, what are the materials, what are the compositions that people want right now that are trending, that fit with what people are wearing as well, you know, because I think oftentimes sneaker collaborations are just kind of like, boom, this is, you know, inspired by, I don't know, Gundam style, or like Gangnam style, or like this is inspired by like whatever, like fucking, you know, elephants and tigers and whatever, right? And Teddy, I feel like, is like, nah, you know what? Like, these colors are just dope because they're the palette of the season, and this is what people are wearing. It's going to look good. And Ronnie is very much the same with his sneakers. They're all really, really nice. But then on the other hand, he's got a lot of sneakers that also have a lot of storytelling and a lot of color blocking that are symbolic of certain things. So yeah, I think they're both great, and they're my first pick of my five, basically.
Yeah, you kind of took one of my five. So and I didn't have Teddy on there, but I did have Ronnie Feig. I mean, the reasons are really obvious. It's all about the history here. And I know this is kind of like a power ranking list, so we're supposed to talk about who is currently one of the best sneaker collaborators, but I actually think even currently he's one of the best collaborators. If you look at like the Kith kind of Monday program they have, where they release like a new, not collab, but like they release something new pretty much every Monday. And I feel like Ronnie is dropping almost like a sneaker collab a week at this point. You know, there's so much fire coming from Kith. If you just think about recently what they've done, like me personally, I'm not a comic book guy at all. But that recent like Marvel pack on the A6, I mean, those shoes looked sick, you know, and all the extras that come with those shoes. I even like enter the raffle for them, even though I don't even really care about Marvel that much. But they were pretty sick looking shoes. You look at what he did with the 8th Street Sambas, which was, that's like, wow. Like, I mean, he did an amazing job there, because that's something that nobody even thought of, you know, like combining three different brands into one sneaker. And the shoe looked very cohesive. I mean, everyone kind of wanted it, right? And the follow-ups to that as well, like the 8th Street Gazelles and some of the other pairs. Yeah, I mean, those were like one of my favorite shoes last year. And then of course, like if you really want to talk about the history, of course, I mean, there's like 10 plus years of collab histories with some of the biggest brands as well, like Coca-Cola, a few others. I mean, if you walk into, I remember I walked into Kith Tokyo last year, and they have actually at the Kith Tokyo store a pair of shoes from every single collab of Ronnie's. And it takes up almost the entire store. Like, that's how many pairs there were. Wild. Like, there was like this massive display of collabs. So it's like, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, as they say. So definitely Ronnie deserves to be on the list. By the way, you're going to Tokyo soon, right?
Yes. This reminds me, I need to ask you for some recommendations. I mean, I went before and I have some spots saved from last time, but definitely need some spots from you. And for anyone listening, man, if you have some recommendations, slide in my DMs, slide in JD's DMs, get them to me somehow, because I'm going to be there for a week and I'm super excited for all the food, for all the, just the, all the culture and
dude, shopping. It's the greatest city in the world, man. I've said it to everyone.
I mean, let's just say it now already. Like, when I'm back, we can do like a Japan debrief in the next episode, and it'll be just
for sure. For sure, I'm gonna be going there pretty much like a week after you. So
yeah, true.
Or 2 weeks after you. So definitely, when we get back, and I guess we'll be back by end of October. So we'll do a Japan deep dive once that happens. But yeah, we got off topic a bit. So who's the next person on your top five collaborators?
So we discussed him earlier, so might as well go with this one. Kiko Kostadinov. I think we've both pretty much said it already. He's an amazing collaborator. His ASICS collaborations were always the most wanted ASICS. So they're kind of like a cult favorite among ASICS stands. And now that he's moved in-house with his team, they're making some beautiful sneakers, some like reimagined versions of classic ASICS shoes. And they almost never miss. Like, some of their shoes are just so good. The colors they use, the little tweaks to the design. So for me, it's almost criminal that he was left off this list. And I'm like, I really, really hope that he was number 26. Otherwise, I'm going to have some words with the Complex staff, just because my boy Kiko, he's been killing it for so long.
No, that was wild to me that he wasn't even mentioned. He wasn't even given an honorable mention. Like, to me, that almost invalidated the whole list, and I didn't even want to pay that list any attention, because it's crazy that Kiko is not on your, even, you have Nina, Chanel, Abney over Kiko. I'm sorry, man. Complex, what are y'all doing, bro? But yeah, I mean, Kiko's shoes, to me, Kiko's shoes are kind of like modern art in the form of shoes. They're so unlike any other ASICS pairs, any of the mainstream pairs. And even though like every kind of shoe he puts out, they're always like, you know, new colors and new designs and all that, it still has like this very distinct like Kiko look to it. Do you know what I mean? Like you see one of those, any Kiko collab, and you already know, you're like, yeah, that's a Kiko ASICS.
Yeah.
Because it don't look like the other ASICS, and it's got this like special like fashion forward, almost futuristic look to it. And also the types of colors he chooses also are, I don't even know how to describe that color palette, but it's like not just earth tones, but like kind of earth tones with some purple tones and some like, he uses a lot of glossy finishes, I've noticed, a lot of metallics. Yeah, I mean, like it's he's got a very distinct palette as well. And there's just like Ronnie, I mean, the history is just there. There's so many models that he's worked on. And it's gotten to the point where now ASICS is just like, you know what, Kiko, you get your own line. We're going to create the ASICS Novalis line, which you're going to be the lead for. And you're going to put out lots of different shoes. You can go as crazy as you want on the designs and the colors. It's all up to you. But you get your own line. That's how good you are. And he deserved it. So,
dude, I think like a really good way, I just thought of this. Excuse me for jumping in. But so no, I've been watching a lot of The Bear, right? And first of all, great show, right? Great, great show. Second of all, it made me think like also – The Bear and Emily in Paris, and you'll see where I'm getting to this.
Okay.
But like, if sneaker collaborators or sneaker designers were awarded Michelin stars, Kiko would have three. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, man, that's a great analogy. I got, yeah. I get it. You're right.
You get it. Yeah, yeah. It's just like, I think that's all you really need to say.
Yeah, dude, I think you said that so perfectly. You know, funny thing, you mentioned The Bear, and this is a sneaker podcast. Jeremy Allen, I think that's the lead actor, right? Jeremy Allen.
Jeremy Allen White.
Jeremy Allen White, I read this about him, and there's plenty of picture and paparazzi evidence for this. He only wears white-on-white Nike Cortezes. That's his favorite shoe, and that's all he buys. And he complains about how Nike never really releases white-on-white Cortezes often enough. But whenever they do, he'll buy like 20 pairs, and he'll only wear those.
That's pretty baller. Yeah. Like, as like a famous person who could have any sneaker that you want, and also just in general, I think it's baller to have like that one shoe that you wear at all times, you know?
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. Like, I think like the uniform is just overall quite underrated in fashion. I thought that was pretty cool about him too. Okay, so you mentioned Kiko, and of course, like once again, I also have Kiko on my list, of course. And I don't need to discuss it anymore. We know why Kiko should be on the list. So let's move on to the next person, which actually we also both have on our list. So you can tell us who that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's James Whitner, and he was in their top. I think he was in their top five as well, I believe, right?
He was number four.
Number four, yeah. I think, you know, James, interviewed him a couple times, spoken to him a lot over the last few years. And, man, Ama Manier and social status and storytelling is just so great. And it's storytelling that comes with, like, a purpose, and, like, everything he does is thought through. Everything the team does is really, like, for the community, by the community. They, you know, really push their partners, whether it's Nike, Jordan Brand, whoever, to really put money where their mouth is and not just make a shoe, but also like invest in the community, invest in like whatever Whitner is building with his team. And, you know, I know that there was some controversy about backdooring and, you know, some Chinese stuff or whatever. And, you know, I think obviously that's a bit of a blemish, but I don't even regard that as important. I think the product speaks for itself, the people that want the product. And we spoke about the threes earlier, you know, the first ones being beautiful, the second ones being almost as nice, and works of art in their own right. And yeah, maybe people have like cooled a little bit to the Ama Manier Jordan collaborations, and maybe they will not sell out at the rate that they sold out before. But let's not forget, they had a lot of big hits that sold out very early. And all in all, they've, you know, I've seen people liken what Amal Manier has done with Jordan to what Virgil has done with Nike in the 10. And obviously I find it a little bit of a stretch, but I get why people are making that comparison. You know, they have some very, very good collaborations. They have like a design language that is instantly recognizable, and they have great storytelling. And I think that is a very, very potent mix. So James Whitner, man, for sure, he has to be in my top five, for sure.
I think for me, it's like easy that James Whitner is the best Jordan collaborator right now. Even though I know his recent Jordan 3 didn't sell out. Actually, it did sell out in North America, just not in Europe. But I don't think that's a reflection of like a decline in Amal Manier or anything like that, because like you said, his shoes have a clear design language. They have great storytelling. And if you look at what he's doing this year, I mean, this is just the first of many upcoming Amal Maniers. There's like a really nice cream colored pair of fours, which you'll be getting. I'm sure you're going to be trying to get those.
Oh, yeah.
And the pair that I actually really have my eyes on are those Air Max 95s. Like, those look like luxury vibes. I love the color. The colorway on that looks amazing. Also, the Air Force One looks kind of nice. Very, very luxury aesthetic as well. There's also a Jordan 39, I believe, dropping. Yeah, I mean, he's got... And even, like, the way that the marketing of that entire like collection, how they had like all the shoes kind of lined up next to each other, it reminded me of like the 10, the Off-White, the 10, actually, the way they kind of displayed it. So it's I can see that Virgil James Whitner collab comparison. Yeah, I mean, I think his shoes too, the other cool thing about them is the materials that get used on these shoes are so premium compared to anything else Jordan does. Like, the quilted lining is just so nice. Usually I'm a big complainer of spending $200 on a pair of Jordans because you're getting some very, very crappy materials compared to other brands that sell shoes for $200, but not the Amal Maniers. The Amal Maniers, I'm always happy to pay retail. That's why I even paid retail for this black pair, because I'm like, yeah, I don't have to pay resale for this. For materials this good, for a shoe this nice, yeah, sign me up. So, yeah, definitely James Whitner, I think, belongs on this list. We got two more to go, and this time both of them are different for each of us. So I'll let you give us your two. Give me one of them first.
Wait, sorry, say that again.
What?
Sorry, I was looking at the picture of all the sneakers.
Oh man, you got so lost. Fives got so lost looking at the shoes that he's like, hey, what are we talking about again?
I was just thinking, like, how can I fit these all into my budget, you know?
I think we're all kind of wondering that right now. No, I was gonna say, let's move on with the list. So we got two to go. So what's the next on your list?
Man, I was like daydreaming about those 95s, those fours. You know, like, I technically had the other fours, and then I mean, it's a long story, but I don't have them anymore, and I never even got my hands on them. So I definitely need those fours. That's kind of what I was thinking about. I was like, damn, like, if I got those fours and I still had the other fours, I would have both. And I was like daydreaming that. And I was like, wait, what did he ask me? Fuck. So my next pick in the top five is representative of like the new age kind of sneakerhead, the new age collaborator, the new age, you know, I guess streetwear icon. And so I put Cortez in my top five because I think that what Cortez has done with the kids, and I say kids, like, I'm, you know, I mean, I am not a kid anymore, but like, I feel kind of like a kid when it comes to streetwear and sneaker stuff.
You can wear Cortez, man.
No, I'm not saying I couldn't wear it. I just, like, I don't think I would be that guy that's like running after like these coordinates, you know, like running through the city.
Or I tried doing that. I did it in London. Almost like tore my ACL. I'm not gonna do that again.
Exactly. So I'd say like it's dope to watch. I think they're doing cool things, and I think the you see it, like the youth, the younger generation, the younger consumers are really responding to it in a great way. And so far, they haven't done much in ways of sneakers, but they've always got their finger on the pulse. I really like the release they did in Cologne, it was, for the Euros, where they had that Germany jersey, like that Cortez style, like, what was it, like 94 or like 86 jersey, which was really, really cool, with like Cortez on it instead of the, you know, the German national team and stuff like that.
That was fire. I wish I got
they
that.
Did it, I think they did it for Colombia and stuff like that. Yeah, it was super cool. They did a pop-up in Cologne. Why Cologne, man? It should have been Berlin or Munich or something like that. But
I think because it's the closest city to London.
Maybe they were like, yeah, fuck, how do we, like,
we don't want to travel Germany, all the way.
And then they were just like, all right, what's the next big city? Ah, okay, Cologne, let's do it here. Was it Cologne? It was, or maybe it was in Düsseldorf.
Yeah, it was Düsseldorf. It wasn't Cologne.
Yeah, which makes it even weirder, right? But that's the thing. It's cool, right? Like, they do it in some random ass, not random ass, but like random to like people who only know the big cities ass city. And man, it went off. And I think I'd like to see Cortez do more sneakers. I think that they have this energy that has been, you know, maybe sorely missed at some of the other bigger streetwear brands, because, you know, once you're established, once you're Supreme, once you're Stussy, you kind of move differently. You know, you're a little bit more corporate. You've got your other you know, different processes, and you're looking at like the balance sheets. Whereas Cortez is like, yeah, fuck it, we're gonna do it because it's cool, whether it makes money or not. And I mean, most of the time it makes money. So yeah, Cortez for me definitely needs to be in there, just because it's representative of like the younger generation. Like, what's next?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I'll move into my top two. I agree with Cortez, even though I would have liked to see a bit more history from them. I know they've kind of... Actually, wait, they've had three pairs now. I thought they only had one, but they actually had three different colorways, which all have been a hit. So yeah, I agree. I think they should be very high on the list. For me, a collaborator that should be in the top five right now is Wales Bonner. And I say that for many reasons. So we know that, you know, the Adidas kind of hype train has been in full force now for maybe the last 2.5, I would say almost 3 years. And even though Wales Bonner did have collabs with Adidas prior, I do think that pair that dropped a couple of years ago, which was the green and cream pair, I really do feel like when we look back, that's one of the most like monumental collabs in the sneaker world, and it doesn't get enough credit in the last few years, because I feel like that was kind of like a turning point for people's sneaker or people's taste in sneakers, because after that Adidas started becoming a lot more popular. You started seeing that shoe all over TikTok, specifically that green and cream pair. So you started seeing it on Instagram mood boards. You started seeing Hidden New York posted all the time, and then the word started really spreading on who's Wales Bonner? Who's Grace Wales Bonner? In fact, actually, a lot of people were even surprised to find out that she was a woman in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. Lot of people were like, oh man, Wales Bonner is so dope, man. He has great sneakers. It's like, nah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Wales Bonner, I mean, what I've liked about all... first of all, I don't think anyone has done a Samba better than her. Like, every single collab on the Samba has been so nice. Like, Football Heritage... And also how every pair that she's released so far has come out with completely different materials. We had like the pony hair. We had like that metallic silver. We had the nylon pairs. They're always pushing the boundary. There was also that black pair with the different studs on it. So there's always like a different material, a different, totally different like vision for each drop. And I think like we've continued to see the Sambas in ways we've never seen it before. And it's really continued to, I think, push that Samba hype for the last few years. And I feel like Wales Bonner has been kind of like the driving force behind Adidas's rise in popularity. And for that reason, I think she belongs in the top five currently, because we're doing current rankings.
I think so. Where's Wales Bonner on the actual list? Nine. Okay, so
nine,
They put her in the top 10, which I think is, you know, obviously, again, it's subjective, right? But I think putting her in top 10 is a statement. I think putting her in top 5 is also very warranted. I agree with you that she's done some great things and has, you know, really elevated the, Adidas collaboration game. Yeah, like a lot of the collaborations are very high fashion, they're very like luxurious. And I mean, the pony hair one, just every time I see that one, I'm just like, whew, that's a nice shoe. That's a
nice shoe. I just wore my today, man. I went to the office today. I wore that shoe, got compliments as usual. I love those leopard pony hair Sambas. One of my favorite shoes, man.
Honestly, will go down as one of the best shoes of the last 10 years.
I think so. Like that entire pony hair pack, like even the black one, I think that's like the best black and white Samba to release. Mm-hmm. You know, you can wear it every day, but it has like, those aren't like some regular Sambas. Those are some like, oh damn, those are nice. Like they pop, even though they're just black and white, they pop.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
No, good pick, man. I think so far, both of our top fours, right, has been very, very strong for very different reasons. I mean, we've had three overlaps as well out of the four names that we've talked about, which just shows like how in sync we are this time. Sometimes it's when we're picking sneakers, it's a different story, but it's funny to see that this time we're very, very aligned with, you know, we did these top five picks without each other kind of knowing. We picked them just based on like what we thought we wanted to do. But yeah, so coming to my last pick of the top five, where Cortez was like representative, like new school, I had to go with old school here. And I went with Pata from Amsterdam, from the Netherlands. They just celebrated 20 years. They were founded in 2004. They've had so many hits since then. I think their, you know, Wave Air Max 1 ushered in a new era of Pata hype. The Chlorophyll Air Max 1s that they've brought back are also beautiful. I've seen them all over my feed recently. So, I mean, yeah, 20 years, dude. Like surviving 20 years, becoming a globally known retailer and brand and collaborator, and collaborating with some of the biggest brands there are, all the way from like Nike to Reebok to New Balance. Man, hats off to the whole Pata crew. Those guys are like always keeping it real. You know, they're all about just family, friends. They're all about community and their heritage. And I think they have great storytelling in the sense that it's not overblown. It's just kind of like, hey man, we stand for this. These are our shoes. They're cool. You know, if you fuck with us, buy them. If not, all good, man. There's going to be enough people that want them anyway. And I really respect that vibe. I really respect that outlook. And I mean, I really respect the work, because the shoes have been pretty much hits all around. You know what I mean?
For sure. For sure. Like their batting average is very, very high. Like Shohei Ohtani high. You know, like these guys have been knocking it out of the park. That recent Chlorophyll pair.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like the people who, you know, don't know much about like sneaker history and all that probably look at that like, oh, that looks like a pair of green Air Maxes. But actually, no, like the details are so nice. The denim materials. And like the history of that shoe, released back in 2009, one of the most grail sneakers. And yeah, it was perfect pair to bring back for their 20th anniversary. And yeah, I mean, these guys have, I feel like anything they do with Nike or New Balance, it's pretty much all hits. Great colorway choices always. Definitely. Was Pata even on the list? Oh yeah, they were number 20. Okay. I feel like they should be higher than 20. They were on the list,
but exactly. Yeah, I was thinking they should be a little bit higher in the rankings too.
Yeah, for sure. So the last one on my list. So my thinking was, of course, like power rankings, meaning like right now who I think is putting out the best collabs. So this is very much representative of like what's going on right now, because I don't really think the history is necessarily that amazing. And I'm actually speaking of Clot here. So I think Clot right now, ever since Edison Chen moved over to Adidas, I don't know what happened. Like, I feel like he's got like a whole new like lease on life or something, because he really stepped up his collab game since moving from Nike to Adidas. If you look at some of his previous Nike collabs, they haven't really been hitting. A lot of them actually didn't even sell out. But since coming to Adidas, he's put out now two shoes, different colorways of each. First was the Superstars, which came with that crazy like platform bottom. It was kind of like a dress shoe kind of take on the Superstar, but not just any dress shoe, more like a loud dress shoe, which people were definitely super into. Like the first pair, the white ones, sold out immediately, going for very high resale prices, almost like double what the retail was. Then the black pair that released after that also sold out very fast. And it's not just like the shoe is popular with girls or popular with guys. Like every single size sells out, you know, like it's a shoe that everyone was like, wow, we've never seen a superstar in that form before. And it's exactly the same story with his most recent collab, which is the Gazelles. What I appreciate about both these collabs is that like he took a shoe everyone's really familiar with, classic Adidas models, completely transformed them, totally transformed them, like in ways that we weren't even imagining before, like converting the Gazelle into an espadrille. I mean, who was even thinking of that, you know? And he did such a great job, like the details on this espadrille, like I was saying at the start of this pod, like the little beads, the material choices, the bottoms too. And it's surprisingly a comfortable shoe because they put a pretty nice insole in there. Yeah, I mean, like I'm very impressed with this collab and just his vision ever since moving to Adidas, the way he's been transforming these sneakers, I'm very impressed with. So I guess it's all subjective at the end of the day, but for me, he's right now like quite a strong collaborator ever since moving to Adidas.
Dude, I think I agree with everything you said except for one thing. I need to disagree with one thing, which is when you said that their history was not that strong. Man, Clot has some big shoes. They've got They've got a number of Air Force Ones that are like with the scratch off silk top.
That's
like,
true. Yeah, the blue, the blue ones.
Yeah, and then the Air Max Ones that were see through, right? Like the Clot.
The massage ones. Yeah,
you know what? Like the OGs, those were hot. And then they've got like the Air Jordan. What is it? 14 low, which was, I would say, like, yeah, a bit of a hit or miss depending on who you're talking to, but I thought it was a super super nice shoe. The terracotta 13 low, sorry, which was just really really nice. So they've got some hits back in the day. I think there was a long time where nothing came from Clot or not a lot of great things. You're right there. I would
exactly
say, like,
yeah,
the very old stuff and the very new stuff is very on point. So definitely with you there. I do like a lot of their new stuff with Adidas. It seems a lot more like high fashion luxury as well.
Oh yeah, there was also this other pair that they've done with Adidas, which I think was a regional exclusive, which was like these Sambas that they were done with Caroline Hu, I think. Mm-hmm. And they have like this weird like kind of textured upper, which you've never, like a flaky kind of upper. It looks like a croissant Samba or something like that, you know. It's like it's got this like flaky upper, which we've never really seen before. That was also like, wow, I'm like, damn, I haven't seen that on a Samba. Like he's been killing it since moving to Adidas. But yeah, like I agree, they've had, like, if you go back to their old history, tons of good stuff there for Nike. But I was just thinking more recently, you know, they had that like that Dunk, that shiny silver one, which wasn't that great.
Yeah,
and also the one, I think they put out like a collab with Sakai too on one of the waffles, which
yeah,
was
they,
like kind of
they
like
took
a
the colorway from the Air Max One and put it on the waffle racer.
Yeah,
whatever
it was kind of mid.
It was okay. Yeah, it was mid. It was like, you know, if you like it, you like it, but it wasn't like the greatest shoe to come out that week or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But man, I think we got a really good list. Let's just go through it again for anyone who lost track. And I'll go through like the ones that we both had. So we both had Ronnie Feig, and then I had Teddy Santis attached to Ronnie Feig. We both had Kiko Kostadinov. We both had James Whitner. So those were our three common ones. Then I had Cortez and Pata, and Josh had Wales Bonner and Clot. So I think those, what is that? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 total names. Pretty solid, man. I would not argue against that being like a top 10, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I feel like we should provide input to Complex next time. Complex, like if you guys are listening or watching, like definitely reach out to us next time you come up with this list.
Bro, give us a guest feature next time. We'll do a little byline action, give you some of our thoughts. But yeah, that wraps up the main topic for today. And as always, we are going to jump into the upcoming upcoming sneakers. There
are we got some. This is like a crazy week for sneakers, actually. A lot of heat dropping this coming week. September the 19th, which is a Thursday, we have the Kobe 9 Elite Lows dropping. The Kobe line just continuing to put out heat for Nike. But the shoe that I'm a lot more interested, I don't even know if we should call this a shoe, but on September 19th, we finally have the first pair of the New Balance 1906 L, I believe it's called, the loafers, or some people are calling it the snowfer at this point. And the gray colorway is releasing. Not my favorite colorway, I have to say, of the snowfer. I'm more excited for like the all black and like that Joe Fresh Goods, like that burgundy one, I think looks amazing. But I will definitely pick this up because I just want to know about the sizing. So just to help you guys out too, everyone listening in, I'm going to try getting this and give you guys some good sizing advice. So that's releasing on the 19th. On the 20th, we have the SB Dunk Low with Verdi, who is the Japanese artist. He's releasing a very, very, very nice looking pair of dunks, which is like this blue gaze and enamel green colorway. And from what I read, there's only going to be 20,000 pairs of these worldwide. So it should be very difficult to get these, of course. There's also on the 21st a pair that I'm very excited for, which is the Bad Bunny Adidas Gazelle Indoors in the black and white colorway. That San Juan pair, the blue one, was the first pair. This is the second pair. I think this one will be easier to get. A lot of retailers are getting them. But you guys know how popular Bad Bunny is, so don't expect these to be sitting. Definitely going to be a tough one to get. And of course, we have on also, I believe, on the same day, September 20th or 21st, there is also the Ama Manier Force, which we just talked about, James Whitner. He should be dropping his pair. And it's going to be dropping on Ama Manier on the 20th. And then I believe a sneakers release will be the following week, and other retailers will be getting it on the 28th, a week later. Some other pairs to talk about. The 21st should be the release of the Jordan 1 Low Dark Mocha as well. Even though Jordan 1 Lows are not that hyped anymore, this might be like the best one to release all year. Very, very clean pair. Also on the 25th, we have the Nike Dunk Low Ceramic releasing. Yeah, it's already getting a retro, even though it's only, I don't know, a couple of years old at this point, but we're already seeing another retro of the ceramics. Interesting.
It's a bit ridiculous, but whatever.
Yeah, I know.
It's Nike.
Yeah, it's way too soon for a retro, in my opinion, but okay. ASAP Rocky is going to be dropping a shoe with Puma. It's called the Inhale. And I think it's a really interesting looking shoe because it seems to be already kind of aged and it looks like it's already worn before you actually even wear it yourself. So maybe some of you guys are into that. But then also on the 27th, we have Drake releasing his Nike Hot Step 2 in the black colorway. So we already saw a white pair. This is like the all black one that should be releasing. And based on all the other pairs so far, even like the super colorful ones have been selling out really fast. So I expect this shoe has proven to be a lot more popular than I expected because every colorway is selling out quite fast. And I think this black one as well should sell out on the 27th. Anything else before I miss anything? Oh, Travis Scott. He's going to be dropping the Jordan 1 Low in the medium olive colorway, which looks like three other colorways he's already put out. But the medium olive colorway of the Jordan 1 Low is coming out on September 28th. And that's about it for now. I hope you guys enjoy the episode. I hope you guys who are watching this on video, hope you guys enjoyed the video style format. And please do, if you are watching this on YouTube, please leave a comment. Let us know if you want us to start releasing more podcasts in this video format, because we will continue to do that. And besides that, thank you guys so much. Oh, also, if any of you guys want a shout out, definitely leave a comment, because we will be picking a comment to shout out in our Listener of the Week in future podcasts. And of course, if you're listening to this on Spotify and Apple Music, make sure you give it a 5-star rating, because of course that helps us out. But that's right, that's right. 5 stars, 5 stars. And thank you guys so much for listening in. And we're signing out. We'll see you guys in the next episode.
Peace.